Here in Hebrews chapter 4 today, the Lord is reminding us that we have a great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that because of that, we have access to the throne of Almighty God. And God wants us to avail ourselves of that access all the time. So notice chapter 4 and verse 14 of Hebrews. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So I've entitled the message, Come Boldly. Come Boldly. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for the privilege of assembling here in the name of the Lord Jesus around your precious word. Use it now in our hearts and lives to grow us and teach us, to remind us of the importance of prayer. Lord, we're so privileged to have access. May we avail ourselves of that constantly. Lord, have your will and way in every heart. If there's someone not saved, may they realize they must be born again if they hope to see heaven. And Lord, may you be glorified in this time. Guide us. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. So he says, therefore, in verse 16, so we need to go back to verse 14 to understand why that is there. When he says, let us therefore come boldly. Well, first of all, we have a high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. And because we have a great high priest who is interceding for us in heaven, therefore come to the throne. Because we now have access to the throne through our high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. This high priestly ministry of Jesus is the primary theme of the book of Hebrews. Where the word priest or priesthood is in the book over 35 times. And it is what the book is all about, that Jesus Christ, when he went to heaven after his resurrection, he is now interceding for us in heaven. He has taken on the role of the Old Testament high priest, except that he's the perfect high priest, and he is interceding for us in heaven as we speak. I'll just show you a couple of samples. Hebrews 2:17, if you would. And I want you to see that this is the theme of the book of Hebrews, is that Jesus is our high priest. 2:17 says, wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Look at chapter 3, verse 1. Chapter 3, verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Jesus, Christ Jesus. Look at chapter 5, verse 10. Called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Chapter 6, verse 20. Whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made in high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Chapter 7 and verse 26. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. And then chapter 8, verse 1. Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. I did that to show you that chapter 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8 address the high priestly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a big chunk of God's word, isn't it? This is important. Jesus promised us that he would go back to heaven on our behalf, and he did that. And when we come to God, Jesus Christ is there interceding on our behalf. It's hard for us to put our head around all of that, but it is true that he is our advocate. He is our intercessor. And one of the reasons he says, therefore, I want you to come boldly, is because Jesus Christ has made it possible through his sacrifice, through his blood, and because he intercedes for us. So back to our passage, Hebrews 4, he says there in verse 14, let us hold fast our profession. Hold fast our profession. Because Jesus Christ is in heaven, because he is interceding on our behalf, God teaches here that we have the ability to be the Christian he wants us to be. We can hold fast. We can be the testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ that he has called us to be. Look at Hebrews chapter 12, if you would. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. Most of you know this verse. But it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Looking unto Jesus. My friend, if you're born again, you can look unto Jesus for everything. To be the Christian he wants us to be, we can hold fast our profession. We're told in Hebrews 4:1 to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. You claim to be a Christian, God wants you to walk like a Christian, act like a Christian, talk like a Christian. Because we have a high priest. We can do this. Colossians 1:10, walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. So God is saying, we have a high priest. Hallelujah. The Lord Jesus Christ is in heaven on our behalf, intercessing for us. He is our advocate. And that's one of the reasons he says, therefore, come boldly. But there's a second reason, verse 15 of Hebrews 4. For we have not an high priest, which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. In the Old Testament, when somebody came to the high priest or to the priests and offered their sacrifices, those priests were sinners. And those priests might not necessarily completely understand what everybody was going through. But if you're a Christian, your high priest understands every single temptation that you ever face. That's what it says. Does it not say all points? That means that in the course of Christ's ministry and the time that he was tempted in the desert, Jesus faced every temptation that mankind can face. Think about that. In his ministry, in his life, he faced every possible temptation. Which means that when we come to him, he understands. Because he's been there. Yes, he was God, but he was also a man. For that time that he had his ministry on earth. And while he was a man, he experienced, as we read here, all points tempted like as we are. He understands. He can relate, if you will. Look at chapter 2, verse 18 of Hebrews. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. That word means to help. You know, we often focus on the death at Calvary, and without it, we couldn't go to heaven. And the blood that he shed, and praise God, we couldn't be saved without the blood of Jesus Christ. And the suffering that he went through those final 2 days, but Jesus faced temptation his entire life on earth. And we face it too. But we sin. As we read here, yet without sin. Christ never sinned. Christ never gave in to temptation. Although he faced every possible temptation that we could ever face. And when he hung on that cross, the Bible said, he hath made him to be sin for us. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Jesus Christ had not only experienced every temptation without succumbing to it, but then became sin for us. So that when he died, sin had been conquered. So God says here in verse 16, let us therefore What does he mean when he says, therefore? He means, knowing that you have a high priest, knowing that you now have access to the Holy of Holies in heaven itself, knowing that you can access Almighty God, the Creator of the universe, through your high priest who shed his blood on your behalf, and knowing, verse 15, that he was in all points tempted like as we are. He understands. You cannot come to Christ and say, Lord, I'm facing this temptation. I'm not sure you understand. He does. Because he faced it himself while he was on earth. So knowing that he's there interceding for us, and knowing that he has experienced every single temptation we could ever face, God says, let us therefore come boldly. Come boldly unto the throne of grace. And those two words are important for us as Christians. The first word is come. Jesus has paid the price. Jesus has given us access to the throne of Almighty God. But we have to come. We have to consciously enter that access, if you will, through prayer. How many days do we start without God by not praying first? We didn't come when we could have. How many times do we come, like we see Moses and other Old Testament saints, in heavy times in their lives, literally on their face? How many times do we come on our face before the throne of Almighty God? And when we do we come with gratitude, with thanksgiving? David said in Psalm 5, verse 3, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. Does God hear your voice every morning? Do you come to the throne? You've been given access through the blood of Jesus Christ. He understands everything you're going through, but do you come to the throne? Go to Jeremiah 29:13. And God says, he's ready and willing, but we have to do the seeking. Jeremiah 29:13, ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. It's one thing to know we can come, that God has made it possible for us to come to the throne, but do we? David said, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice in Psalm 55:17. He said, I'm going to pray. He said in Psalm 119:165, seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgment. You know, sometimes we scoff at the Muslims for having their prayer times, their call to prayer. And it's sad because they aren't coming through the blood of Jesus Christ, but they're getting down on their faces multiple times a day, aren't they? Don't you think Christians should do that even more? Because we have access. Because we need his power. We need our high priest's help with the temptations that we face. It's one thing to be allowed to come, but do we come? Romans 12:12 says, continuing instant in prayer. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication of the Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, pray without ceasing. Actually, 19. And we could go on the rest of the morning, couldn't we? Where God says, I want you to pray, and I want you to pray all the time. Luke 18:1, he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. How many times are we told to just keep coming to the throne? Do we come? But then in chapter 4, verse 16, he says, come boldly. Come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Mercy is the negative side of our salvation, if you will. God pardons and rescues us from our sin. Grace, of course, is the positive side. He justifies and transforms us as His children. And by the way, we need them both. We need the mercy and we need the grace. The mercy, I believe he's telling us there, we have to keep short accounts with God. You know, in the Old Testament, the seat in the Holy of Holies was called the mercy seat. You know why? Because we need mercy. And we serve a merciful God. And because of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, when we come before the throne of God and we confess our sins, what are we told in 1 John 1:9? He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We don't deserve that. All we have to do is confess and He forgives. That's what He says. We don't deserve that kind of mercy. But He's saying it's available. Come boldly. Bring your wickedness to the throne. Confess it. Go to Isaiah 55, if you would, in verse 7. But when we come to the throne of grace, and hopefully we come daily, and we come multiple times per day, we come all day, we're to come boldly, and we're to seek, first of all, mercy. I regard iniquity in my heart, God says, Psalm 66:18, the Lord will not hear me. We have to come first for mercy. Isaiah 55:7, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy. Isn't that good? He will have mercy upon him. God will always show mercy to his children. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, we're told in Psalm 51:17. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou will not despise. Look at Proverbs 28, verse 13, if you would. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 13. God says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have what? Mercy. We have a great high priest who understands every temptation we could ever face. God says, therefore come boldly. But when you do come, that we might find, first of all, mercy. Keep short accounts with God. Bring your failures, bring your sins, confess them, get that dealt with first. The Holy Spirit will show you what they are. But come for mercy, forgiveness. But then he says, and grace, to help in time of need. Do we ever have a time of need? Just every day. We need grace, and we need more. Amen? James 4:6, he giveth more grace. More than anything. But we need grace. Look at Romans chapter 5, verse 20. And when we come to God's throne through the sacrifice, through the blood of our great high priest, which we now have access to, a priest who understands our temptations, when we come, we need to come for mercy, but we also need to come for grace. Romans 5:20, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. There's always more grace available. Go to 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. The Apostle Paul, we know this passage, he asked God to take away a thorn. And God essentially told Paul, no, you need the thorn to keep you humble, to keep you reliant upon me. But look what he says in verse 9. And he said unto me, this is God speaking, my grace is sufficient for thee. How sufficient is God's grace? It doesn't matter what the trial is. What the request is, what the pain is, it doesn't matter. There's more grace available at the throne of grace. That's why it's called the throne of grace. But if we don't come, we're not going to get the grace, are we? We need to come and we need to ask for the mercy and we need to ask for the grace. We need to confess our sins and get those out of the way, and then we need to beg God for the grace to be what He wants us to be, to face the trials that we're going to face, even maybe death. There's a thing called dying grace. Psalm 23, most of us know it, but David said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." You read about Fox's Book of Martyrs, all those Christians during the Dark Ages that were killed just for believing the Bible. And how they could sing praises while they were being burned at the stake. How's that even possible? That's called grace. And when they needed the grace, God gave the grace. But God wants us to come, and He wants us to come boldly. He wants us to come regularly. He wants us to come every morning and every day and all day and every night. He wants us to come to the throne because we have a high priest interceding for us. We have a Holy Spirit who takes our prayers and even makes them acceptable to God. We know not what we should pray for as we ought, we're told in Romans 8:26, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So we have all of that. And then we have mercy available at the throne. All we have to do is confess our sins, and He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And then we have this infinite reservoir of the grace of Almighty God. He's ready to just pour it out on us. But He wants us to ask. He wants us to come boldly, not because of who we are, but because of who Jesus is and what He did. He's the high priest. He's the one that understands. We can come boldly to the throne of grace and obtain mercy and find grace in time of need. If we don't come, all of that's irrelevant. That's our part, isn't it? God never changes. God never moves. Jesus is there. He's interceding. He's ready to forgive. He's ready to pour out His grace. We're the ones that have to come. And come boldly. And come without ceasing. That we may obtain mercy. And that we might find grace to help in time of need. Well, that's pretty much every day. We need His help, don't we? We need His strength. We need His wisdom. But we got to ask for it. So let us come boldly. Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank You for reminding us today.